hustling.
Hustleberg. This podcast is all about small business in St. Petersburg, Florida, how the business owners got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle, a marketing firm where we help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustles and ditch their 9-to-5s. As the founder of a small business here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners. Lucky for you, I also like to record those conversations for you to listen to. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, because there are probably more nuggets in other episodes, both past and upcoming. It would also be great if you rate and review the episode to let us know what you got out of the conversation. If you have a question about marketing, building your brand, or operating your small business that you'd like to have answered on a Q&A episode, please visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion to submit it. Welcome back to Hustleberg. This is episode number 24, a Q&A episode. We're continuing our series of Q&A episodes about specific platforms. This week, we're going to be talking about Twitter. We'll also be talking about Twitter in a part two, answering the questions that you have asked about Twitter in our platform-specific series. Our very first question, to me it seems like Twitter is a place where people go to fight or to cancel someone online. What can it do for me? Well, as we've discussed with the other platforms that we've covered, you have an opportunity to reach people where they are. As of the first quarter of this year, they shared a user base of 166 million daily active users, which is a 24% growth over the same point in 2019, their highest year-over-year growth on record. Also, it's estimated that 80% of the content on the platform is created by only 10% of the users, meaning those 10% are very dedicated to using the platform. Now, Twitter has very different demo and psychographics for its users, generally skewing younger than both LinkedIn and Facebook, as well as the average American. Millennials came of age with Twitter, so there's a natural synergy between the 25 to 34 age group and the platform. They make up its largest age demographic, and Twitter's users are generally more educated and about 9% wealthier than the average American. The user base also skews very male, being almost 2-to-1 male to female in their users, and this disparity is among users is most only visible in the 25 and up age demographic, as younger users are basically 1-to-1 male to female. Ironically, 65% of Twitter's most active users, however, are women. Most of Twitter's users live in cities over suburban households and leastly rural areas. Now, each platform that we've discussed thus far in these platform-specific episodes has their own features to distinguish it from its predecessors. Twitter is unique in that it offers a direct connection to a person or a brand. While celebrities may have someone who handles their social media and companies may have a team of people to monitor their presence online, Twitter allows you to communicate directly with them. And it may be privately through direct messages if you follow each other, or it may happen publicly through mentions on the platform. And that ability to directly communicate creates a huge opportunity for your business to create deep connections on the platform as well as off. It gives your community an opportunity to know you, your brand, and what you stand for by interacting with you on Twitter. The ability to reach you directly strengthens relationships that you create there because you have a literal conversation on social media, which is just a digital way to have large conversations as we've discussed in previous episodes. By having these conversations publicly on Twitter and out of the direct messages, you're able to offer an inside look at how you do business to others in much the same way we described your helpful replies on Yelp and other review sites. You're able to solve problems, real or perceived, in real time in front of your community. What better way to show that you care? Twitter's also more uniquely more viral than other platforms for non-private accounts due to the ability of users to have their thoughts echoed via other users, promoting that content beyond the initial user's audience on the platform. Twitter is also where hashtags began to rise to prominence in pop culture, directing conversations about specific topics. With these advantages, it seems like Twitter may be right for you and your business. Our second question for this episode comes from Andrew. He asked for tips for staying above the fray on Twitter. He has noticed that there can be a lot of drama, and while he may personally have a hot take on an issue, he doesn't want to put his business in a position of taking a side on every issue. Well, Twitter is a pretty politically active medium, so there can be an assumption that users of the platform will be somewhat active or vocal on political and social issues. And as I'm sure you've seen in today's hyper-partisan and hyper-polarized national conversation, nuance is lost on 90% plus of percentage of people, as they adopt a mindset that if you aren't 100% with them in lockstep, then you are 100% against what they believe. The good news is that it's actually pretty easy for brands to stay above the fray, though for individuals it is a bit less so. So here are some tips for keeping your business clear. Number one, stick to your five areas of focus for your content. We've talked about the five, and if this is the first time you've heard the podcast, I definitely encourage you to take a listen to some other episodes to learn about the five, or visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/the5 to get a full understanding of the five areas of focus for your content. Now, unless one of your five areas of focus specifically puts you in the crosshairs of the issue du jour, you're usually not going to get embroiled in an online argument. Keep in mind that as conversations evolve, though, on social media, it may become that not taking a side is perceived as taking one through your silence. Now, if the issue is important to your business and your community, you most certainly should be out in front with your stand. And you're going to be able to tell because your community will be asking you if you haven't done a good enough job of sharing your thoughts using your five areas of focus. If it isn't, you should, within, you know, a very important aspect of your business and your community, you shouldn't bother with speaking out one way or another because it only serves to alienate those who disagree. For example, a local bait shop should most certainly be vocal about proposed changes to fishing regulations, but they should probably steer clear of an argument about school calendars. Another tip is when you step too far out of your lane, also known as those five focus areas that we've talked about, you're setting yourself up to be alienating part of your community. Use your platform the way you want to define the conversations that you have, and don't let a prevailing issue drag you into a conversation that you don't. And finally, stay away from falling in line if it's inauthentic. It may be popular for a company to change their logo to integrate the Pride Rainbow. However, for many, it's just jumping on a bandwagon. And you can see that there isn't any actual action to back up the change. It's hollow and inauthentic, and it can be more damaging to your brand than being who you actually are. Generally speaking, hot takes are not particularly well thought out. They can be taken out of context, and they don't fully encompass a person's thoughts or feelings within Twitter's 280 character limit. I'm sure that your words will be filled with compassion and empathy and kindness, and so long as they are, go ahead and type away on your personal account. And keep that personal account from having any mention of your business on it. If your thoughts aren't filled with the love outlined earlier, it's probably best to keep those thoughts to yourself and spend that time learning how you might readdress the situation through that lens. Our next question for this Q&A episode comes from Sophie, and she asks, how do I get something trending? Is it possible for a hashtag or a topic to trend at the local level? I've seen the national trends, but what is the best way to get something trending in the community? Well, Sophie, often trending topics are filled with hot takes about breaking news, and only talking about what you see trending is definitely not a recipe for sustained success on Twitter. But when the content you create does intersect with what's trending, however, that's your opportunity to capitalize on it. That means the conversation has come to you and what you're an expert in, and it's your time to shine. Now, if you've listened to the Hustleberg podcast before this episode, you've probably figured out that we don't really talk about throwing Hail Marys by going viral. We focus on activities that will gain the same number of yards that result in the same touchdowns through building your brand, if we're going to use a football analogy. So you can probably guess by the earlier answer that we have some very specific areas of content and we stay in that lane. Now, way back when, Twitter only had 10 trending topics for the entire platform. Those were the 10 things that users were tweeting about, and they were driven by hashtags to filter the conversation being had. Now, over the last decade, Twitter has become more robust as a platform, and they try to serve their users the content that they want to see, rather than what was just a drinking from a fire hose of tweets from everyone you followed in a reverse chronological order. Today, they filter conversations naturally by topic, geography, and interest. As the algorithms form the feed as you currently have it, they are able to serve relevant content, and that's become way easier for them. Trending topics, as a result, expanded, going from just those 10 topics that were popular throughout the entire universe of the platform, and they're segmenting from worldwide to country-specific and boiling down to major metro areas. You set your geographic interest at sign-up, but trending goes far beyond borders. At Beyond Your Side Hustle, we often describe community as the groups you create, engage, and serve, so communities are going to go beyond a geographic limitation. Interestingly, Twitter agrees. They segment audiences every which way and serve content to you in a variety of ways. Geographically, check. By interests you've selected, yep. Based on the accounts you like, you betcha. By the content that you engage with, uh-huh. By specific hashtags, oh man, don't I know it. Each of these is a community where trends will emerge. Going back to the original question, how do I get something trending? Will it be local? Maybe. Will it be specific to an interest? Possibly. Will it be a specific hashtag? Well, it could be. Ideally, you're focused on creating content that provides value to the community around your brand. Let them do the heavy lifting of making something viral among the relevant community. If you try to create content for the purpose of trending or going viral, you'll end up stressing out about all the misses because you didn't share the right link or phrase your commentary with the photo the right way so that you can go viral. And even if you do have content that does, it could very well be that it does that for the wrong reasons, giving you a ton of worthless attention because the context around it is wrong. Now, does that mean you shouldn't participate in trending conversations? Absolutely not. You should participate in the conversations where they are in your focused areas of content. When your topics are trending, those five focused areas of content, participate in the conversation by adding value as an expert in those conversations. The value that you add here will bring deeper connections because you participated far greater than if you happen to trend without context and keep trying for that Hail Mary game plan we talked about earlier. Rather than keeping with the fundamentals, building your brand, and adding value in the conversation that is social media on things where you are the expert. Trending in that community will have effects for your business that far outlast the single pop of a viral tweet that may only trend for a few hours. Now, if you really want to take a deep dive of what your interests are according to Twitter, check out your Twitter data in the settings of your account. You can also tailor those interests to what you actually want to see. Now, going back a little bit to the pop, the single pop of a viral tweet or a viral campaign that I talked about earlier, in February of 2009, I happened to be working on Twitter's first internet scavenger hunt. It was for a brand that I was building, and we were a dog-focused brand and working with several others. And we happened to be trending for this scavenger hunt during the Grammys in February of 2009. And if you remember the Grammys, the big Grammy story from February 2009, it was the news of Chris Brown and Rihanna and the altercation that took place on their ride to the Grammys when Chris Brown beat Rihanna up. So while we were trending really well early in that evening as we were going through the scavenger hunt, throughout the course of the night, the news turned and it was all focused on the Grammys, Chris Brown, and Rihanna. And so what we thought we were doing really well with, and unfortunately because we were so involved in the scavenger hunt, we didn't know the news that was happening, and we saw us fall out of the trending. And so we never trended again nationally or internationally or on the platform for the scavenger hunt after that, because people started to see the power of talking about the hot takes that can take place on the breaking news of that period. And that was the moment that I figured out that it is less about that Hail Mary and getting the touchdown and more about building the brand and having the conversations that you want to have that are in your five focus areas. Our next question comes from Jason. This is going to be a pretty short one. Where would you rank Twitter in terms of importance for a business to have compared to like Facebook, LinkedIn, etc., Instagram, etc.? Well, here are the things that I would consider. Twitter has about a sixth of the user base as Facebook, which we've discussed as being the most important platform for your business right now in 2020. However, it's also behind YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat in terms of the number of users. So if your community lends itself well to the demo and psychographics of Twitter, or you think you'd excel in building a community, or you've already started doing so, it may be more important than Instagram or TikTok. As with so many things, it depends. If you find that your ideal customer is there already, it's something your content will add value to many on, or you already have a feel for the platform from your personal use, it might be more important than utilizing Instagram or LinkedIn. So when it comes to importance for a brand, I would definitely say that I would take a look at the most important ones, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, the things we've talked about before, before I looked at Twitter, unless you have some of those caveats that I noted previously. And our final question for this Q&A episode for Hustleberg comes to us from Kelly. I don't get the lingo. Is it a Twitter, a twit, a tweet? Don't worry. It's really not that confusing. For those of you who have used Twitter and feel like you have a pretty good idea of the vocabulary, go ahead and skip to the end of the episode. This is going to be the final question that we answer. And really, I'm just going to be talking about some of the things that are Twitter specific that you may not find in other aspects. So first of all, it is a tweet, and that is the individual micro post that you type out that's under 280 characters on the Twitter platform. Now, it can include a link, an image, a GIF, or a short video, in addition to the commentary you're writing to add context about why this is important for your community. Now, you can also tweet as a verb, which is the act of sharing that micro post on Twitter. Now, you guys probably have seen the at symbol. You've seen it in email addresses, but this symbol is used on Twitter without a space to mention, and also to provide your community with a clickable link to another user on Twitter. You can use this to let that user, as well as your community, know that you're talking to or about them. This is kind of how you are able to, you know, tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, this is me talking about you. Earlier in this episode, we talked about the direct communication, and this is how you can publicly have that direct communication with a user on Twitter. For example, if you wanted to let people know that you were listening to this podcast, you would type something like, currently listening to the at Beyond Your Hustle podcast, Hustleberg. So the at symbol is something that you're going to use to mention another user on Twitter. Now, that pound sign that you see that resides to the right of the zero on a touchtone phone, for those of us that have used those, that's the beginning of a hashtag, and that is used to help direct the topic of a conversation by placing it immediately before the keyword in a linkable way to other tweets, other microposts about the same topic. If you wanted to share your weekend plans on Twitter, you might try typing something like, I can't wait to be sitting on the hashtag beach Saturday. That lets everybody know that you're talking about the beach, and if there are other posts about the beach that they may want to see, they'll click on the hashtag beach to see a conversation of people talking about the beach. The next one that I have is DM, and this is used to denote a direct message. This is the only way to have a private conversation on the platform with someone that follows you and that you follow. Often this is used in a tweet to let people know that you'll take the conversation out of the public space and share something with them privately. I'm immediately thinking of DM me for the details if there's an effort to see who will contact you to get more information about outside of the tweets that you've already shared. The DM is a way for you to message directly someone who you follow and follows you. FF, that stands for Follow Friday. Now, early on, this was always a trending hashtag on Twitter every single Friday. It was literally a tweet filled with the accounts that you suggest that everyone in your community also follows. That list was preceded by hashtag Follow Friday or hashtag FF, and now it's just become FF. HT, H/T, or via. Now, these are used to denote that you didn't do the heavy lifting when it comes to creating or finding the great content that you're sharing, and you'd like to give credit to another user on the platform who did where you saw it. It is often used in conjunction with a mention, the at symbol that we outlined earlier. RT, that means retweet, or the sharing of another's content on Twitter, essentially forwarding it to your community after you found it valuable already. Now, the built-in functionality of the phone app gives you an option to simply retweet without commentary, like an email forward without any accompanying text, or to retweet with comment that allows you to add context for your community for a tweet that you found valuable. The latter of those is also called quote tweeting. Now, there are a bunch of other shorthands used on Twitter. Remember, you have a limited number of characters, and until recently, you had half those characters available to you. It used to be that Twitter was only 140. So there's a bunch of shorthand. Generally, they are abbreviations, but they are used across other text-based communications and aren't Twitter-specific. So if you're still trying to figure out NSFW, TIL, and OH, you're going to have to do that elsewhere. You did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. To thank you for listening, I have a free guide to help you get started marketing your business online, aptly named our Getting Started Guide, available at beyondyoursidehustle.com/get-the-guide. See how to begin with the first three things you should be doing for your business online. Speaking of businesses, if you're a small business owner in St. Pete and you'd like to be a guest on an episode of the podcast, let us know at beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast-guest. If you got something of value from this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player. This is something small you can do to help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer. The music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend, Rhymer Educator. On May 28th, he released a mixtape entitled Quentin Quarantino about loneliness during the COVID-19 pandemic, and I encourage you to check it out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.